Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Well, it'll be Biden versus Ryan live from Kentucky tonight. Are you going to watch? Are you going to listen? This is the only vice presidential debate of this election, which makes it interesting enough. And there is all this added interest given the huge impact of last week's first presidential debate. Nia Malika Henderson of The Washington Post is here. Nia Malika, thanks for previewing the debate with us. Hello.
Hey there. It's great to be here with you.
And since last week's debate, as you well know, Mitt Romney has gained several points on average in the polls, about 3 in the swing states. The popular vote nationally is now within the margin of error, so it's all tightening up. Given all this, as far as you can tell, what's the strategy of the Obama-Biden team going into this debate to undo the damage?
Well, they at least have to, you know, fight this thing to a draw tonight. They want Biden to go in there, to go on the offensive. Because, you know, if you looked at that last debate, President Obama has already come out and said that he was too nice. The underlying idea there being that he didn't really go after Romney with really easy, in easy ways that he could have, around the $716 billion cuts in Medicare. He was pretty passive in that debate, pretty lackluster. So I think the expectation for Biden is to take that traditional VP role, which is to be an attack dog. And I think if you look at Ryan, this is going to be the first high-level debate he's ever really had. He's had about 8 debates just as a congressman, but he's really got to go in there and pass the commander-in-chief test. If you look at the last debates where you had an elder statesman versus a more junior person, as you did with Biden and Palin, as you did with Cheney and Edwards, usually the elder statesman comes out ahead. But if you look at some of the pre-polling, viewers are expecting that Ryan will actually come out with a W.
Listeners, what are you looking for tonight? You know, we started a hashtag on Twitter last week, debate coach, for you to offer your advice to the presidential candidates last week. And we're reestablishing it this morning. So if you're on Twitter, you can use the hashtag debate coach and tell us what you would tell either Ryan or Biden to do tonight, depending on whose corner you're in. Tweet at Brian Lehrer or give us a call right now and talk on the air about what your last minute advice would be if you were coaching your guy in tonight's debate. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, as we talk to Nia Malika Henderson, political correspondent for The Washington Post. Here is a little bit, just as a sample, of Joe being Joe from his 2008 debate with Sarah Palin.
Where I come from, it's called fairness, just simple fairness. The middle class is struggling. The middle class under John McCain's tax proposals, 100 million families, middle class families, households to be precise. They got not a single change. They got not a single break in taxes. Now, that seems to me to be simple fairness. The economic engine of America is the middle class. It's the people listening to this broadcast.
Biden in 2008 debating Sarah Palin. So, Nia Malika, that's Biden as champion of the middle class, a role that he has played frequently. Do you think we'll hear the same sort of thing tonight?
Definitely. Now, that debate, I think that was the highest rated debate ever. 70 million viewers watched that debate last go around.
Because they all tuned in to see Joe Biden.
Joe Biden, and of course, Sarah Palin, I think, even more so. But if you look at Joe Biden, his speech at the DNC, also the highest rated speech there. So people do want to tune in to watch Biden. And part of that reason is that he is known to make gaffes, not so much in debates, but certainly in other settings. But yes, I definitely expect that the middle class, Joe, will be there. He'll probably talk about Scranton in that debate. He also talked about the experience of losing his wife and losing a child early on in his Senate career and really choked up in talking about that. So yeah, you expect that sensitive Joe will be there. I think both of these candidates have to watch out from appearing to Washington. These are men who have spent most of their adult lives in the halls of the Senate, speaking that language of Washington, and I think they have to be careful not to appear too wonky. And of course, that is one of Ryan's strong suits. He's really good with numbers, but I think if he lapses into talking about CBO scoring, then he's got a problem.
Right. In fact, in the New York Times today, we noticed that Tripp Gabriel, who's covering the vice presidential race, said that Biden would love to see Ryan get lost in the weeds of budget baselines and things like that. So the trap seems to be there, and everybody knows what it is. Here is a clip of Paul Ryan being Paul Ryan from the Republican National Convention, doing a pretty good job in this case of avoiding that trap by tying his personal story to his policy argument.
A Romney-Ryan administration will protect and strengthen Medicare for my mom's generation, for my generation, and for my kids and yours. So our opponents can consider themselves on notice. In this election, on this issue, the usual posturing on the left isn't going to work. Mitt Romney and I know the difference between protecting a program and raiding it.
So, Nia Malika, is that the sort of Paul Ryan you expect to hear tonight?
You'll hear that, Paul Ryan. Certainly, he'll probably talk about his mom. They, of course, have to figure out what their language is going to be around Medicare. That wasn't fully explored, I don't think, at least from the Democratic side, in this last debate. So you expect that Joe Biden will be ready to take the heat to Paul Ryan and essentially say, well, listen, you want to raid Medicare in the same way that we supposedly want to raid Medicare of this $716 billion, and make a pretty compelling case around that. But I am sure that Paul Ryan will name drop his mom.
Cindy in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. You want to play debate coach?
Well, not exactly debate coach, but thank you for the new job. I guess I don't feel that Biden has to be aggressive. I think what he has to do, which Obama did not do, is call out the lies from the other side. Just not allow Ryan to say things that are just not true. Things like Obama and the administration are going to gut Medicare, to say that they care about Medicare, to say that they're not going to cut the taxes for the rich when a week before they said that. That just respond to him and just say what you're saying is not true, or at least it's not what you said 5 minutes ago.
Cindy, thank you for that. And Nia Malika, as you know, we are hearing exactly that advice a lot in liberal circles, exactly that frustration with Obama and Biden, that they refuse to use the L word, not liberal, but lie, when talking about the Romney campaign.
Well, you know, I mean, the Democrats I've talked to certainly using that word, some of them using that word publicly as well. I think the fear there is when you use such strong language that you almost lose the debate. But I do think, you expect tonight that Biden will point out what he sees as the inconsistencies in what Ryan is saying about his Medicare plan versus what he might actually do with Medicare. And there was none of that fight from President Obama. He seemed very disengaged. It almost seemed like at times he wasn't even really listening to some of the things that Romney was saying. But so I think tonight Biden is going to make up for that all night. It's a 90-minute debate. I think they're 9 segments, 10 minutes each, an opening question where they get a 2-minute response. And so that's the format. And, of course, the moderator is going to be Martha Raddatz. They're also, I think, going to talk a lot about foreign policy. Those are the two, broad topics, foreign policy, domestic policy, that are supposed to come up. And, of course, Martha Raddatz, that's her specialty. And you have on the Republican side some attempt to make some headway on the foreign policy issue, particularly around Libya. So I expect that's going to come up tonight.
Just those two topics, huh? Domestic policy and foreign policy?
Right, just that's all.
Yes, let's see. What does that leave out? I'll give that a little bit of thought. Before we drop this question of calling people liars, we did see that writing in the Washington Post today, your colleague Matt Miller says, quote, talking about what a liar Mitt Romney is may feel good right now, but if that's what Joe Biden focuses on, he'll blow the debate. He can't assume his listeners already agree with him. He needs to walk people through some political realities the way he'd explain them to a small room full of independent or undecided voters. You agree with that?
That's right. I mean, and Biden is good at that. I mean, he certainly makes a connection with his audience. He uses his voice very well. He is good at delivering those sort of zingers and sound bites. So I expect that he will do that. And I agree. This whole idea of one side line and the other side line, both sides are essentially saying the same thing, that the other side isn't telling the truth or being honest about their plan. So it's almost like, you know, it's like, who's really telling the truth? And at some point, it becomes a political argument that the other side is not telling the truth and not necessarily something you want to focus on in a debate, I think.
But does that bring up the question of whether Biden or either of them would be trying to fire up their base versus win over that 10%, at most 10% of undecided voters?
Right, and I think that's the line that they have to walk here. On the left, among Democrats, you have a demoralized base. They're so disappointed with Obama's performance that they are going to need to see some red meat and some reason to get re-excited about this ticket. So you've got to think that Biden's got to have that in mind, but he's also got to think about those middle-of-the-road viewers who are going to be tuning in, you know, the 5 to 10% of undecided voters who probably, you know, got a look at Romney for the first time, liked what they saw. So he's got to talk to those. The same thing with Ryan, especially, I think, around women's issues. I think Democrats were upset that those issues didn't come up in the first debate either. You saw in some of these polls that Ryan and Romney have started to gain some traction among women voters, and we know that they are going to be key to this election. They usually turn up in larger numbers. I think by 10 million more women voted in 2008. So that's a key demographic that both of these gentlemen tonight are going to try to reach.
Let's hear from some more debate coaches. Glenn in East Meadow, you're on the air. Hi, Glenn.
Hi, how you doing?
All right.
Well, you know, again, it's very important that they reiterate what they've been doing in the past years. They've been doing helpful to the economy, getting jobs going. I mean, it's not an easy task after coming from what Bush did of destroying, you know, our economy and having it fall apart. And that's really what they should be discussing. We're adding 100,000 jobs a month last month, and you know, our banking system is profitable again. I mean, these are the things that they have to really focus on, at least Biden has to, mm-hmm. and show them this is the path, it's working. And again, I love when they make an objective statement and say, look, we're doing what Clinton did in his past. And it came through, and that's what we want to do.
Glenn, thank you. Marcia in Poughkeepsie also wants to debate Coach Biden. Hi, Marcia.
Hi. Actually, exactly the same thing that's being said. Just all Biden needs to do is to quote Ryan back to himself. And he said that he has been studying Ryan's statements and Ryan's positions, and that's his prep. But there is also foreign policy. And I've been knocking on doors and talking to people about their choices. And the one thing that comes up again and again for people who are uncertain about who they want to vote for is that the wars are not over. The boys are not back from overseas. And if Biden can give the impression that this is another Bush regime coming to take over and to be macho and make war, then I think he will have accomplished a great deal.
Marcia, thank you very much. How about that idea, Nia Malika, of quoting Ryan back to himself? That's, again, one of the things that people say Obama didn't do. He didn't bring up the 47%. He didn't bring up some of the other things that Romney has said over the campaign that makes him look out of touch. Should Obama raise these things even if Ryan doesn't?
Yes, I think Biden probably should do that. I don't know if specifically he's going to get in the 47% because there is sort of an air campaign, you know, a campaign you have on the stump, a campaign that you wage on television ads, and then there's a campaign that you wage during the debates. And I think one of the reasons that you saw from Obama, someone who was a little bit more lackluster, a little bit more laid back, was he was worried about appearing less than presidential, and Biden's got to worry about that too. But I do think he will bring some of these issues up, certainly quote Ryan back to him, Ryan's budget plans back to him, some of the cuts he wants to make, voucherizing Medicare. And so I think that's what he'll do. And you see them do that on the stump, but I think just for, you know, Obama, it just seemed like he was too much in his head in that debate, and I think Biden will be much much looser. And in some ways, you know, the rumor is that he might be wanting to wage a campaign for 2016. So in some ways, that'll probably be in the back of his head as well.
Gary in Queens, you're on WNYC. Hi, Gary.
Hi. I might be as out of touch as Obama is because I listened to the first debate and I thought he won because I listened. I didn't watch. And a lot of people thought the visuals were what made Romney look better. But here's my question. Why do Republicans settle for these moderators? I like Jim, but Jim Lehrer was trying to interrupt Romney more than he tried to interrupt Obama. And here we have Martha Raddatz, who has very extensive ties to Obama and Democrats and NPR. And how could she be expected to be unbiased? That's my question.
Gary, thank you. Martha Raddatz from ABC News, formerly with NPR. And, boy, I've heard so many complaints from liberals that Jim Lehrer dropped the ball and failed to follow up on things that Romney said that Obama also wasn't following up on, but that was a moderator's job. So I don't know, maybe both sides were unhappy with Jim Lehrer. Martha Raddatz, do you expect her, Nia Malika, to have a different style than Jim Lehrer did? You know, and again, Gary, I think Gary speaks for a minority when he says Jim Lehrer interrupted so much. Whether people like Lehrer's style or not, I think it was characterized by being so laid back.
Yes, I thought the same thing. He pretty much let them go at it. There weren't a lot of rules to that debate in terms of time length of answers and not a lot of interrupting, not a lot of contradicting, and not a lot of bringing up of topics that maybe Democrats or Republicans wanted him to bring up. I mean, he basically said, Social Security, what are your differences? And then let them go at it. For Martha Raddatz, I mean, she's a top-notch reporter. Her specialty, of course, is foreign policy and national security. I think she will be incredibly objective. You know, one of the, I think, challenges and objectives of these moderators is not to get in the way, to let these men go at it, to let them lay out their plans and their policy objectives in the way that in the way that they want to. Their moderators aren't supposed to become a part of the debate, and so I think that's why you've seen from the Commission on Presidential Debates pick these sorts of moderators who aren't necessarily these big personalities who want to insert themselves and become figures in the debate.
Well, we will see what happens tonight. Maybe Martha Raddatz will steer the conversation to some of the long list of things that didn't get mentioned in the first debate, which was supposed to be about domestic policy in general, but there were no women's issues, guns, immigration, gay marriage, nothing in that whole sphere of things. So we'll see if she decides to start filling in those blanks because they didn't come up next week. I'll also be curious to see if she is a little more aggressive in following up with each of them to try to clarify or say, but didn't you once say that because of the reaction to the first debate? So we will see all of that tonight, as will you. And you can read the reporting in the Washington Post by Nia Malika Henderson, who's on the campaign trail. Nia Malika, thank you so much for the preview.
Thank you, Brian. Take care.
And don't forget, folks, with the vice presidential debate tonight, we will have live coverage. And again, I'll be hosting a pre-debate call-in for listeners to WNYC and to a mostly swing states public radio network. The call-in begins at 8 o'clock. That's an hour before the debate here on WNYC. We will also have live chatting on our politics website, itsafreecountry.org. And once the debate begins, we will have debate bingo at It's a Free Country, too. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Stay with us. Coming up next, the newest new debate over stop and frisk in New York City. We will speak to New York City Councilman Jumaane Williams, who's got a group of four bills to affect stop and frisk in New York City, including one that would require police officers to explain their reasons when they stop and frisk you on the street. Stay with us.